John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. Okay. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of human or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. I look at that and I never get tired of reading that, thinking about that. I've memorized it. It's just beautiful, beautiful words. And they talk about God's Word being what? Living and active, okay? This, every time I read it, it's alive to me. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Bible starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Now, if we don't accept that, we got nothing, okay? God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that, we believe that, we stand on that. That's very, very important, okay? I want to talk about encounters with God this morning, okay? The first encounter with God was Adam, right? Is that what you were saying, Donna? Oh, I thought you were. Your mouth moved. Adam in Genesis chapter 2 through 4. We read about Adam, and Adam was the first man created by God, and he had a genuine encounter with God. What does it say? God created him, and then he created the woman with him, and then the woman led him astray, okay? Put him in the garden to tend the garden, and doggone it, there was a fall. And it wasn't the guy's fault, okay? It was that woman that God gave him, just like what we have today. God gave us a wife, and she's the one who makes me late, and so on and so forth, okay? Yeah. It's all her fault, okay? Anyway, God gave man dominion over the earth, okay? But they got in trouble. And God came down and he walked amongst the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? And when we think about that, that's a question for us today. Where are we? What the heck are we doing in life? Well, there was an encounter, a true vision of an encounter with God. And we can go throughout the whole Old Testament and see people having encounters with God. Okay? We look at Noah. What was the deal about Noah? Well, before him, the world was very, very, very corrupt and wicked and evil. And it says God repented and said, I should wipe that place out. And he was going to. But what about Noah? Abraham had an encounter with God. God called him from a land far away and says, come into this other land and I'm going to make you a great nation. So there's another encounter, okay, where God showed himself to Abraham and it says what? What did Abraham do that carries throughout the Bible and carries over into our lives? Say it, Dave. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That verse, you find that throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He believed in God. He had this encounter, and God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he did, okay? And we go on throughout the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Each one of those guys had encounters with God, and their sons, the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, and Joseph in particular, we see his faithfulness and his encounter with God. God preserved him, preserved the nation, and they went down into Egypt and prospered. But there was this encounter, this relationship with God that they had. Throughout the Old Testament, there was all kinds of ways, many and various ways, men encountered God, and they believed in him. And the truth of God, the fact of God, the word of God was written down by many of these guys in, like we said, many and various ways. And we have those books in the Old Testament, okay? Now, about 2,000 years ago, something amazing happened. Do you guys know what that was? What? The birth. Okay, all of a sudden, this God who created the heavens and earth and encountered all these different people in a different way, in a sense, it says, the Word became flesh. God came down and became a man. And it says he walked amongst us full of grace and truth. Okay? So that we then have this different relationship. It was an Old Testament law-based relationship. When Jesus came, now it's a relationship of grace. Okay? So God became a man. That's very, very important to think about that, to realize that. I never get tired of reading about that. It says, let me see. He says, he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him, yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, you know, I can go over that and over that, and I'm always just amazed. I never get tired of reading that, okay? And then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God came into our midst and became a man. And we know the story. We celebrate that story of his birth. And then at Easter, we celebrate his death and resurrection. That's the thing. The resurrection of Christ. And it says, because he rose from the dead, we're going to raise. We have that promise in the Word that we will rise from the dead. Okay? So he came and he walked around, walked into people's lives, talked to people, had many, many, many encounters. All over throughout the New Testament, we see encounters with Jesus. People running into him and talking to him and him talking to them. And what happened to those people? They became what? What word would sum it up? Give me one word. Come on, it's easy. Begins with a B. Believers. They became believers, okay? That's a very, very significant word, okay? Okay, let's talk about a couple of them. Can you guys think about people who encountered Jesus? Can you name one or two or three? John chapter 3. What was the guy's name who encountered Jesus at night? Bill's just preached about it. If you guys weren't sleeping, you should remember that, okay? I know some of the times it's hard to stay awake. I'll vouch for that. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed his life. What did Jesus tell him? Do you remember? What'd you say? Say it louder. I didn't quite hear that. Everybody, shout it out. He told Nicodemus, he must be born again. Wow. And Nicodemus said, huh? That's what I say, huh? But then I got it. You have to be born again. You have to believe in Jesus. Okay? And that's an amazing thing. That's a simple thing. You know, it's not how you hold your mouth or how many push-ups you can do or how fast you can run or how much money you have. Simply believing in the fact that Jesus is who he says he was. He is God, okay? And it says, well, Nicodemus had this encounter, okay? And we read about that. Wow, what an encounter. And we read about Nicodemus later on, you know, being he was a Pharisee, really an astounding guy, smart, and one of the leaders of the Jews as far as, because he was a Pharisee. And later on, he helped the other guy, what was his name? Take Jesus and bury him. You know, Joseph of Arimathea, thanks. Okay, who else had an encounter? Okay, good. On the road to Damascus, who had a big encounter? Paul. You guys know about that. You've read it, haven't you? Okay? In Acts chapter 9, Paul had this encounter. Paul was going out to kill people, to kill those doggone Christians because they were messed up. And so he was going to wipe them out. And he was going along, and wham! Jesus speaks to him. Bright light appears. He's knocked off his horse, falls down, and he has this encounter with Jesus. And it changed his life. And he became a true believer. And he followed Jesus. And he wrote about Jesus. And we have his writings today in this book. And through that, we can find out who God is, what God is, and our relationship with him. Okay? So we can talk about all different kinds of encounters that people had. That the encounter of Jesus feeding the 5,000 or the 4,000. Those people were sitting there and they encountered Jesus and they got fed. And they're looking at this, hey, you know, there's no food here, but they get bread and they get fish. Think, wow. Would you guys like to see that? Would you guys go out for something like that? I'm just happy with the potluck, you know. That's a pretty good encounter for me. But anyway, the Canaanite woman, okay, had an encounter with Jesus in Matthew 15, 21. Let me see. I've got that right here. Matthew 15, 21. You guys remember that one? Anybody remember that right off? She was a Canaanite woman. And she came to Jesus and says, hey, my daughter needs to be healed. Okay? Let me see. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, only to the Jews. And you know what, you know, you're a Canaanite. You're not part of those people. Okay? The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Wow. Now, if you look at that and think about that, this is a very interesting conversation here. The woman had a daughter who was what? Demon-possessed. You guys know anybody who's demon-possessed? You ever been around that? No, not here in America. Okay? But you know what? There is demon possession. People are demon possessed. We just ignore it and say, we're skeptical, I think. How do you get demon possessed? Opening yourselves up to drugs, to lifestyles, to different things, music, and demons can come in and possess your life. Okay? All right. Anyway, I don't know that much about it, but I know that it's real. Okay? And it was real here. Anyway, it's not good to take the bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she says, but even dogs eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So what do you think she did? just went off and forgot about it all? I think she became what we call a true believer. She saw this Jesus, this guy who says, I am God. And she believed in him. And I think that changed her life, not just for a week or two, you know, season or two, but I think it changed her life forever. I think she continued to believe in him. Okay? And I think she went out probably and told people about her encounter. Okay? That's what I'm thinking. There's not a lot written about it, but I'm speculating. It's called spiritual speculation. I like to speculate on some things. I'll admit it. Okay, the two criminals that were nailed with Jesus on the cross. Okay? Here they are, nailed up. And what's happening to them? Feeling good about life and having a good time? That was one of the most miserable things that could ever happen to a person, would be nailed to a cross. And what did one of them do? He reviled Jesus. Get us off the cross. You know, you say you're son of God, get us off the cross. And the other guy said more or less, shut up. We deserve being here, but he's a righteous man. He says, Jesus, have mercy on me. And what did Jesus say to him? You're going to be with me in paradise today. That guy had an encounter with Jesus. Okay? Wow. All right. The Samaritan woman, you guys know about her. Bill just preached about her. Jesus was walking along the road to Samaria. And he sits down and the boys go into town to get some food and stuff. And what, this gal comes along, and she's a Samaritan. And the Jews didn't think much of Samaritans. They were sort of like dogs in some respects, and especially the woman. You guys remember the story about how she came, and Jesus said, hey, can you get me a drink? And she said, what are you doing talking to me? You know, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. You know, we don't talk to each other. And so on and so forth. He says, you know, give me some water. If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask for living water. And she has this encounter, okay? But we're going to go to the main text today. Let me see, where is it? It's Mark chapter 5. Turn there, please. Mark chapter 5. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. We're going to sort of look at this, and we're going to see a true encounter, okay? The main encounter that I want to talk about today, okay? And I want you guys to think about the encounter that you've had with Jesus. Okay, if you're not there, raise your hand. Everybody there? Good. Okay, let's look at this. Mark chapter 5, starting at verses 1. And it says, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. Is that how you pronounce that? Oh, say it again out loud, Zandy. Gerasenes. I was never very good at phonics. I was for a little while when I was teaching it, and then I lost it. Gerasenes, okay? When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. So how many of you guys have ever seen a man with an evil spirit? Nobody? I think I have. I think I've seen kids with evil spirits, okay? Little kids that were just, you know. But I've also been to the Philippines, and there were some weird people over there that I know they were demon-possessed, okay? And it scared the heck out of me. It really did. And like I said, we suppress it here in this country, and here in this church, we're not around that stuff a lot because it's not the circles that we run in. We don't run around where there are these kinds of people. But if you get out and about and go to the big cities and go into the culture and see some of these things, you think, wow, this is bad. Some of these people probably are demon-possessed because they've opened themselves up, okay? All right, so anyway, He said, I saw a man with an evil spirit, and the man came from the tombs to meet him. And what would you have been your response? This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Verse 4, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Okay, that's sort of a freaky description of what was going on here at this time. The guy's demon-possessed. He was bound with chains for a long time. They tried to bind him. And what would he do with those chains? He'd break them. How could that be? Well, the guy was demon-possessed. He had extra power and strength. What would I have done? I would have felt like running away, okay? Getting out of there. I wouldn't want to be around that. That would have been pretty freaky, scary. I don't like to be scared, okay? Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of a voice. Can you guys see this happening? Visualize it. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. So did Jesus know that there were evil spirits? Yes. Jesus was very in tune with spiritual things. And I think that if we could look around and have visions, we would see that there are evil spirits out there. But I think also there are God's spirits. There's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. But I hear about angels. And I think there are angels that watch over us. I don't know a lot about it, but I've heard about that. I've read a little bit about it. And I just think that there's a lot of spiritual things going on around us that we don't see. But it's there. And I think that we need to be more in tune with it and be more aware that those things are going on, okay? Anyway, he says, come out of him, you evil spirit. Verse 9, Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied. For we are many. A Roman legion consisted of 6,000 troops, okay? A legion of the Roman soldiers, 6,000 men. Now, it may not mean that, but it means there were many spirits living in this guy, and they had a lot of power. A legion designated power, okay? This guy had power within him, power to break those chains, power to do evil. Power to what? Defy God? To hurt people? Things like that. My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. And I was reading something on a commentary today about why didn't he want to leave the area? This one commentator said, because they're, I don't know, they're regional. Demons are regional. They live in this region or that region. I've never heard that before, but you know, that's what the commentator said. Oh, wow, maybe that's what this means. I don't know. You guys can look it up. All you got to do is go to on your computer, on your internet, type in some of these verses. Type in commentary on Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, and boom, you'll have 20 different commentaries that you can read about. It's amazing. The resources we have at the tip of our fingers today, it's astounding. Okay, so he begged Jesus not to send them out of the area. That's a thought for you. Why don't you look it up and then come back and tell me what you find. If demons are regional beings, I don't know. That's what I read. Okay, a large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. Now, can you see that? Wow. A herd of pigs. And these demons were getting cast out of this guy, but they sort of wanted to hang around, you know, because that's where their power was. And so they go into the pigs. It says Jesus gave them permission. Okay? And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. Okay? You can visualize that. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the towns and the countryside. Okay? You think they would have been scared? Yeah. Hey, they lost their whole income, all these pigs. Okay? And were they Jews? I don't know. Jews weren't supposed to have anything to do with pigs. But there were 2,000 pigs in this area, and they rushed down and were all drowned. And so that was a substantial loss. Okay? And then it goes on and says, they went out into the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. Okay, they didn't have a lot of things like we have going on, where they're so occupied with everything. When you hear something over here, I don't have time for that because I've got so much going on over here. They sort of sat around. They didn't have a lot. They heard about this. They all rushed out to see what was going on because this was interesting. They were wanting to see what happened. Let's go look. So when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Okay. So did they know about this guy previously, do you think? I think they did. You know, it's in the region there. And they'd all heard about this guy. And he lived in the tombs. Okay? And do you guys ever like to go to graveyards at night? What do you think? As a kid, it scared the heck out of me. I would have never done that. And even now, I don't want to go to a graveyard at night because I have visions in my head. And I've seen a couple of, not whole movies, but glimpses of movies where bad things happen in graveyards. And that's where this guy was. He was in the graveyard. But now, and he had chains and stuff on. Now he's sitting there in his right mind, okay? The guy who had been possessed by the demons, sitting there in his right mind, and then the people who came out to look, what happened to them, they were afraid. Did they understand what all had gone on? No, I don't think they understood it. This was just, whoa, what happened? They didn't know. They weren't there to witness that. But they knew about this guy. He's sitting there in his right mind and he's clothed now. The chains are off him. And he's not jumping out at him and swinging chains and stuff. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus and to leave, leave their region. They were sort of afraid of what had happened. They didn't understand it. Hey, just please leave, you know. This is too much for us to comprehend and handle. So they says, get out of here. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. This guy wanted to go with Jesus. I mean, hey, he's just been transformed, okay? And he's a new man. The demons are out of him. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's talking. Wow. And he'd been that way for a long time. He'd been demon-possessed and been in the graveyards and, you know, all those things that happened to him, okay? And what happened to the guy? Well, it says in verse 19, Jesus did not let him, but says, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which is a region of 10 cities on the east side of the lake, all that Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. They weren't mad, they were amazed. We knew this guy before, and now we see him now. And this guy truly had an encounter with Jesus. Do you think it just lasted a week or two, maybe a year? And then he just sort of forgot all about it? And the other people forgot about it? No, I think that it carried on. He became a true believer, and he went out, and he told his mother, and his brothers, and his friends, and he went to the synagogue, and he became a respected guy. Now, I'm speculating on this. And then he got married, and he had kids, and the kids became believers, okay? And it was passed down from generation to generation, and it spread, and it continued to spread, just like the rest of the encounters that Jesus had with these people. It didn't just stop there, pretty much. Here it is today, in us. We've had an encounter with Jesus too. Somebody has talked to us, we've read some things, and we have done what? Believed. We've become born again, and we begin to walk with Jesus. And what does that look like? Well, it looks just like this. Being here in church, gathered together, singing songs, listening to stories, listening to encouragement, coming to potlucks, coming to game night, wanting to be with other believers, people of like mind, wanting to take our Bibles and read them and find out more about who God is, listening to things on the radio and TV about God, growing in a knowledge of Him. That's what it looks like to become a Christian. It's not just, you know, coming on Sunday and then forgetting it. Wow. Then I wonder, okay, what was your encounter like? If you just forget it in a week or two, was it a true encounter? A true encounter goes on for a lifetime and for eternity, okay? That's a true encounter with Jesus, all right? All right, so the people that this guy ran into were amazed. And he spread it around. And it's continuing to be spread 2,000 years later to this very day. And we take from our little congregation here, and we send missionaries out to spread the word that Jesus is Lord. Jesus offers salvation, and you can have an encounter with Him too, okay? Well, that tale's all told out, okay? I'm done, okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You for Your word and how it teaches us about who You are and about, we see people who had encounters with You, who walked with You, who loved You, who lived for You. And I just pray as we think about these things that we would grow in our encounter with You, that we would walk with You, talk with You, enjoy You and each other. Thank You for Your faithfulness and Your goodness to us. And I just pray that we would just enjoy the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.